Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for the welcome. It's great to be here. You are brave and committed to come in weather like this. I was watching the weather this morning. It was pouring down, and I thought, I wonder how many people are going to be in church this morning. Your pastor asked me, it's been really great over the past year to have him as part of the Fellowship of Pastors. We've got about 12, 15 different pastors from the island that gather together on a monthly basis, pray for one another, help and support each other in ministry. And that has been such a tremendous encouragement, just to be able to have that network. We do all kinds of things together, evangelistic outreaches. One of the pastors is reaching, I'm not sure if you know this, the entire Harbor Lights community. The manager of Harbor Lights now is a Christian going to his church. And so they have afternoon Sunday services with about 50, 60 people from Harbor Lights. And so God's doing a great thing there. And I think most of you know what's going on with Pastor Greg at Living Way in Happy Valley. I remember taking a bunch of pastors probably about 20 years ago, and we just drove through Happy Valley and said, Lord, raise up a church one day. And all of a sudden, I get a call from Pastor Greg saying he wants to come to Maui, and can he spend some time with our church before he goes out? And I mean, he's in the newspaper all the time. When we get we have our meetings over at his church, and he's got about 20 men sitting around a table 5 days a week from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Guys coming out of drugs, coming out of marriage abuses, on parole from prison, and God's just doing an amazing thing in Maui. You know, God is at work. It's an amazing thing to look at. I was given an assignment from your pastor because I always like to find out, you know, what should I minister on and preach on? And he said, can you speak about health? And I'm going to be approaching health from a different perspective this morning than what we're used to. And when I got to serve the Lord in the beginning, we just saw all kinds of miracles, God just healing people, some kind of outstanding, unbelievable, spectacular kinds of miracles. I just am amazed. You know, I just see God at work. But probably about 5 years ago, we had two of our men in their 50s in our church that were taking care of themselves. They were eating right, and they got cancer, and in a few months they died. And I said, Lord, there's something that we're missing. I don't understand what we're missing, but you're gonna. And I go over and pray for them, and I said, there's more than prayer. We can pray, we've seen miracles, but I think you're saying something to us. And then we can't understand that there's all different avenues of healing and health that God wants to give to his church in these hours. And so I just want to share some of those thoughts that are on my heart. And over the past 2 years, all these lessons that we've learned in regards to health. So let's pray together. Father, we just pray that your grace, your blessing would be upon our time together as we look at the scriptures and understand your plan for our short, brief, temporary human physical life, the 70 to 100 years that we're on earth before we see you in your kingdom, or before your kingdom comes on earth. And we pray that you would give us wisdom, understanding, so we know how to hear your voice and walk with you as you've asked us to. Just thank you, Lord, for Faith Family Fellowship, their church, their history, their heritage, for their future. Ask that, Lord, you bless every person, every leader in this place, for the pastor, Herman, and his wife, and Lord, for their family. And we ask that this morning you would speak from heaven to every single one of us as we would search through the scriptures to understand your plan for human health. And so we just give you thanks for that and give you praise in Jesus' wonderful and precious name. We pray together. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'd like to just kind of go through some of these slides with you. We had some difficulties putting it together on the co-presenter, but there's some scriptures I want you to look at this morning. Scriptures that talk to us about the balancedness of our lives. My topic is God's plan for human health. You can take a look at the next slide. Can we all repeat this together? This is 3 John 1:2. I think you're all familiar with this. Let's repeat it together. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Okay, that's God's will for our lives. Amen. Okay, next one. This is not a scripture. This is our family. My wife, Susan, and I are this year celebrating our 48th anniversary. In 2 years, we'll be married for 50 years. That's a long time. It's amazing because we're better friends now than we were when we first got married. That's our family. We had 3 kids. The guy on the right-hand side is our youngest son, David. He works as one of the managers at T-Mobile at Kahumanu Shopping Center. My son on the left-hand side, that's the tallest there. His son is almost as tall as he is. He is a senior pastor at our church, Grace Bible in Kahului. My daughter is right below the tallest guy. He is 6'4" tall, and she's 5 foot straight. She's 5 foot tall, and they're married. We have 11 grandkids. We never imagine, and they're all living in Maui. This is amazing. They're all living in Maui. I consider that a phenomenal miracle that we've got our whole family over here. But that is God's blessing. If you don't know the Lord and you're here for the first time, I would like to challenge you to open your heart, receive Christ into your life, follow Him. If you're younger, that's even better because you've got a whole lifetime ahead of you. And God's blessing is amazing as you begin walking with Him. I want to talk with you about the climate of health in America. And I think most of us are familiar with what's going on in our nation. But if not, let me just kind of go through some of these things with you, if we can just flip through some of these slides. We are faced with a huge problem. It's a perplexing problem because America is one of the most innovative, creative nations in the world with huge resources. And so we should not be able to face any problem we can't conquer. And yet we are facing a problem that seems almost insurmountable. These are some of the statistics. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but globally, what is spent on healthcare, is about $3 trillion. That's a huge amount of money. All the nations all together spend $3 trillion for health. You know how much America spends of that $3 trillion? America is 1/20th of the world, and it spends $1.5 trillion every year for health. That's huge. Half of the world's expenditures for health is what America is dishing out of its pocket. And there's a big disconnect because we're spending that kind of money, and yet every single year we're spending more money. Yeah, have you noticed how your health care, insurance, premium cost is just getting higher and higher and higher, right? Because there's more services needed, and you're thinking, if America is that great, why can't we solve this problem? This shows you what is happening with the chronic diseases in America. That from 2013 to 2020, about a 20-year period, this is what the projection of the increases of every chronic disease that we face. Cancer, 62% increase. Mental disorder, 54% increase. Diabetes, 53%. You know, you just look at this and you say, and right on the heels of all of this is a new emerging, probably 30-year disease that is now bringing fear into the hearts of Americans. And I was hoping we could do this video on it, but that's not going to work out. And that is Alzheimer's. You know, how many of you have heard of Alzheimer's? So that is only 30 years old. And it is creeping up to be the number four killer in America right now. And you don't get that until normally you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, you know? And I think many people get older thinking, I'm afraid of getting Alzheimer's. We just began about 2 years ago a ministry with our seniors in our church. And I never imagined that as we were getting involved in this ministry, that we would start looking, because we never intended to do this, we started looking into health. Because we found out that as people get older, they have this notion in their minds that aging will bring sickness. And as you get older, you can expect that your mind is going to go, that your health is going to go, that you'll get cancer, you'll get diabetes, all of this will stop because that's old age disease. But you know what the big problem is? It's no longer an old age disease because all these things are creeping down to the younger ages. Okay, next slide. How many of you have heard about kids in their teens getting heart attacks? Have you heard about that? This is hitting our young people. My daughter-in-law was working for an architectural firm on the island when she got out of architectural school. And one of her co-workers was a 40-year-old young man who looked very robust and healthy. And he was running the HANA relay, so he was just practicing. And then when the relay happened, and this is probably, 15 years ago, in his particular leg on the HANA freeway as he was running, collapsed on the side of the road, had a heart attack, and he died at 40 years of age. You know what the prediction is right now? That today's parents are going to be the first generation that will bury their children. Because more and more children are dying at an earlier age than ever before. So let's take a look at the next. So I think one of the things that need to happen is for us to understand how to look at all of this. What is our perspective? Because when I began working with our seniors, I realized all the seniors had this idea, we should just expect to get sick. I'm going to celebrate my 75th birthday this year. I am expecting, the Lord willing, that I'll live to be a robust and healthy 100-year-old. And possibly be able to live to 120. And you say, well, you know, that's not what the statistic shows. There are exceptions to the rule, but I believe that as Christians, we can live in the exceptions, not the rule. So let's just take a look at some of these. This is what clinical research is discovering right now. Clinical research is discovering that diet and lifestyle is linked to sickness or health more than, I don't know if you found out about the science of the genome, the genes, that sets us up for either sickness or health in your body. You know, what you inherit from your parents. And so science has been able to discover what your DNA is, and they can predict what state of health you will be in. What is amazing is now they're finding that there's huge contradictory discoveries regarding what was accepted as genetic predispositions. That you don't have to accept what happened with your parents or what happened with any of your relatives. So clinical research is discovering that your diet and your lifestyle is more powerful than genes. And there was this whole thought for a while that the reason why you get sick is because of germs. And so you just need to attack the germs. And if you can attack the germs, you can get rid of sickness. And germs is the thing that causes sickness. What science is discovering now is that germs can't exist in your body if you've got the right conditions in your body. So germs is not the cause of sickness. And the third thing is gerontology, or age. That when you get older, that's why you get sick. Yeah, but science is contradicting that. In fact, this past week, we were taking a look at a December 2019 study that was printed in the Star Bulletin that showed that this was totally a misconception, that genes, even though you have an inclination for a weak physical frame in your body, that your mind is stronger than those genes. Because if you think that you're going to get sick, you will get sick. But if you don't consider that at all, and you feel like you can be healthy, your mind is stronger than the genes. I mean, that is an amazing thing. So what does God tell us? You know, the Lord tells us that health is part of the life of a believer. Yeah, that He has intended that we prosper in all things and be in health, just as our soul prospers, right? Okay, next one. So one of the things that have to happen is that we have to be convinced that God's highest will is for us to be healthy. I remember about 4 years ago, we had a celebration for my retirement from full-time ministry. I haven't really retired. I'm still as busy as I've been before. In fact, I have a whole lot more energy now than I had 4 years ago. And I think that's due to a lot of the lessons that we have been learning in regards to health. And I used to get really tired at about 5 or 6 o'clock. And I've got energy up to 10 o'clock at night now. And I have to force myself to go to sleep. So we have to convince ourselves, God's highest will is for us to be in health just as our soul prospers. Yeah, that is God's will for us. Next slide. You recognize these faces? You know how old these people are? Ronald Reagan was in his 70s when he became president of the United States. When I hit 70, I thought, boy, you're just getting over the hill now. You know, you're supposed to get weaker. You can't do as much as you could before. You're the cow put out to pasture. You know, you got all these thoughts coming into your mind. I saw a really great article, and it says, I'm not over the hill. This is a woman who was in her 70s. She says, I'm not over the hill. I'm standing on top of it. And I thought, wow, that's really great. You know, the older you get, the better a perspective you have on life that even the young people don't have. You know, we've got a whole lot more going for us in our older years than when we were younger. And so I had to change the way I thought. And I found that I could exercise better. I love tennis. I remember seeing a guy, 65-year-old, playing tennis when I was 55. And I thought, when I can be 65 years old, I can play tennis, single tennis, like he. I thought, I really feel great. And I'm 75, and I still play single tennis now, you know. And I'm hoping that I can keep on doing this. I found out that the guy that I saw at 65 is now 85, and he's still playing singles. The guy on the left is Rupert Murdoch. He's 90 years old. He's a CEO of Fox News. Still functioning. Presenting conservative news to America. Motivated by a passion of balancing all the news media in America. That's Rupert Murdoch. I don't know if he's a believer or not, but he's on his fourth marriage, you know, unfortunately. But I'm surprised that at 90, you know, he's getting married again. That's amazing. we're studying Abraham's life, and he was 120 7 years old when Sarah died. You know what happened at 127 for Abraham? He got married again. To Keturah, he had 6 more children. That's amazing. Donald Trump on the bottom, you guys, whether you're, I don't know what kind of political persuasion you have, but he's in his 70s. President of the United States, making huge impacts on our nation through his life. Right? And everybody knows Colonel Sanders. I don't know if you know the story, 65 years old, sitting on a rocking chair on his porch in Kentucky, and waiting for the Social Security retirement check to come in the mail. And it came, and he picked up the check, looked at it, and it was $100. And he looked at this, and he said, "That's such a paltry sum. I can go to work and make more money than this. Why am I depending on the government?" And I said, "I'm just going to start a business." 65 years old, and that business has gone worldwide. this is what I believe. When you get to be 60 or 70, and you've got 30 to 40 years more of life ahead of you, you can start another career. It's not a time to retire, it's a time to start another career. Okay, next. So this is fitness and health that must become a major priority in all of our lives. If you're not conscious of taking care of yourself, you won't. If you're just trusting God to give you... When I started ministry, I said, "I'm just going to trust God to provide money for me." I never learned the principles of money. Never understood the laws of how money worked. And so I was just scraping for money. And, you know, luckily and through faith and belief, God provided at different times. But in my 40s, I started realizing I just got to learn principles about money. And I started research, and it's so good to have guys like Dave Ramsey, Christian men, that are teaching us across our nation, and he's educated 3 million or 4 million American families now that are prospering because they understand the principles of money. I realized I just need to understand about money and realized that every single American will work through $1 million by the time they retire. The big question is, how much of it do you hang on to and how much do you just let go? How do you steward what God has given to you? And the same thing holds true for health. You know, God, when we are young, health when we are young is a gift from God. But health when we become older is no longer a gift. It's been entrusted to us. We are stewards of our health. And what we do with our bodies, if we're healthy when we're older, is because of an achievement. We've understood the laws of health and put it into practice in our lives. And I believe God will come and miraculously touch us and heal us. We've seen all kinds of things like that. But I believe he does not want us to be ignorant either. You know. So I want to talk a little bit about the principles of health. Next. So this is the example of Jesus. Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, said he increased in wisdom, stature, in favor with God and man. He was a balanced person that had spiritual and mental and physical and relational health in his life. All those things were in balance. He understood what health was. He understood what wisdom was. He understood what relationship with God spiritually was and with people. And he grew that way. And the Bible says he grew and became a powerful person. He did not die of sickness. He died because of sin, carrying your sin and my sin on his life. But he was a healthy man until the day he died. And I believe his example and his model is a model for us. You know, I thought, you know, it's pretty arrogant to say we can be healthy all the way to death. But, you know, Pastor Herman this morning was talking about the Israelites that were in health for the 40 years they were traveling through the wilderness. Why can't that be true for the New Testament believers? It should be true for us.
Amen.
Far more true in our time than in that period. Okay, next one. I feel like over the years of my life, I've been a Christian since my 15th birthday. So that's 60 years as a believer. Began ministry at about 25 years of age. I've been here in Maui for a little over 40 years. And over the course of the years, and I believe every single person, God will give a focus of lessons for their lives, what is most critical for them, that is a life message to share with other people. My life message, that, and it's these five things: faith, fitness, family, finances, and fruit. Those are my five major life messages. That faith is at the cornerstone, the basic foundation of my life. My life with God, my walk with Jesus, how he speaks to me and teaches me and guides me and leads me is the most critical thing. If I didn't have him, I wouldn't be here. Wouldn't have the wife I have, or the kids and grandkids that we have, or a church that we have, or influence that we have. God's blessed us so that we've been able to bless churches on Maui and pastors on Maui, and we've got churches that we help out in Asia, in Manila, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand. We just had a burden for Myanmar. Go to Japan and Okinawa regularly. But faith is at the cornerstone of my life. The next, and then I believe following your faith, the most important priority for every single one of us should be the area of physical health. Taking care of our bodies. You only have one body. You know, it's not like cars. You know, you can just trade it in and get a new one. That's not going to happen with your body. You got one to live with for the rest of your life on earth. And if you're not healthy, you can't enjoy your faith. If you're not healthy, you can't enjoy your family. If you're not healthy, you can't enjoy your money, right? And if you're not healthy, you're not going to be influential to touch the lives of others. So health is really important. And yet, it's almost like finances. You know, nobody teaches us about it. We don't hear too much about the laws of health. And unless we go and search out how to discover those principles that will help us handle money or handle health, you know, we just don't learn about it. But I believe it's important. Fitness, and this is what we're talking about this morning. Next, family. Lots of times I hear of Christians that sacrifice their family on the altars of spirituality, you know, which is really, really sad. Next is our finances, understanding finances, so that I was talking to one of the pastors about 5 years ago, and he said as he retires, he wants to be able to have five streams of income so that he's not dependent on one. And I thought, Lord, I'd like to have that happen with me. And unless we understand the principles of money, it's not going to happen in our lives. And it changed our church's life. When, as a pastor, God had to teach me to teach my people how to tithe. And people started tithing, and they were blessed. took our church out of the red. But then the church became a very prosperous church financially when I began to teach them all the principles of finances. How to work, how to save, how to invest, how to give, all the different facets of money. Because I was learning that myself. And we're in our retirement years. I'm probably spending at least a good 20 hours regularly still involved in church ministry every week. And I'm just looking at our finances and thinking, I can't believe that this is God and his blessings, because we probably have 2 to 3 times the income we had when we were full-time working. You know, and I'm looking at this and saying, this is just... and 4 to 5 different avenues of income coming in. I'm looking at this and saying, only God can do that, you know. So our lives have to begin in the presence of the Lord. And then the final thing is our fruit. What are we? How is our life affecting the other people around us, whether it's on the job, in our careers, in our neighborhoods, with our, and I love playing tennis, and I've been playing tennis for probably 30 years, with a 10-year break because of going to seminary. But it's amazing just to see the influence just by being on the courts with non-believers. There's some believers that I meet there, but with non-believers, and you know, we've had one of the best guitarists walk into our church because of playing tennis with him. We have a saxophone player that plays saxophone just because of playing tennis with him. We have the head of our preschool because I led her to Christ on the tennis court. You know, and I thought, it's amazing. You know, your influence can touch the lives of so many people, regardless of where you are. That's the fruit of your life, you know. How you live your faith out, how healthy you are, how healthy your family is, how healthy your finances are, affects your fruit, affects how you influence the lives of other people. So one of the, I believe that one of the important cornerstones of priority should be fitness. And so let's take a look at the next section. It's called a proper prescription. What does the Bible say? When we go back to the beginning, I want to go back to the beginning and ask, how did God set up our life? You know, what were the principles he established for us so that we could be healthy people? And this is what the Bible can, let's see, can we go to the next one? God provided, this is a little ahead of that. That's fine. Let's just take a look at this. God provided good food for Adam and Eve. Do you remember that? All the trees in the garden you can have. Right? But what did they do? They chose the bad food rather than the good food. And that's what got us into trouble and hurled the human race into the corrupt world that we live in today because of a choice over food. Isn't that interesting? I just thought, oh, this is amazing. And you know how they chose the bad food? There's a serpent that tempted them and said, what God said is bad is not bad. You know, just go ahead and take it. And that same serpent is still whispering in all of our ears every single day regarding our diets. I'm sorry, but I might step on some of your toes this morning. Please forgive me ahead of time. But I struggle. You know, I love chicken katsu. But do you know that it's bad for you? Anything fried in oil is bad for you. It'll cause, it's carcinogenic. It'll cause cancer. I love my steak well done. I don't like it. My wife loved it. Rare, but it looks like it was raw when she eats it. Couldn't handle meat like that. I'm eating it. Rare now, medium rare. Because I found out that 90,000 nurses study over a period of 10, 20 years found out that when you have your steak well done, it's carcinogenic. It'll create cancer. 400% more cancer by eating steaks cooked well done. That shocked me. So this is the bottom line. What we think and feel is good, because I love chicken katsu and I love my steak well done, is actually very bad for us. But somehow there's an inclination in all of us to gravitate towards bad foods because it tastes good. You know, that's what must have happened with Adam and Eve in the garden when they took a look at the fruit of the tree. The reason why we are sick isn't because of genes and germs and gerontology. It's because we eat wrong foods and we live the wrong way. I was gonna show you this video on Alzheimer's. you know, a lot of people say Alzheimer's is irreversible. Once you get it, you know, don't expect that you can reverse it and be able not to have Alzheimer's. The current studies and researches are showing you can reverse Alzheimer's because your brain is constantly producing new cells. But what is happening is that we're not feeding our brain correctly. I don't know if you've heard this. This is in the 1970s and 1980s. How many of you heard, don't eat too much fat, cut the fat out of your diet? How many of you have heard that? Yeah. Don't eat too much eggs and bacon because it's not healthy for you, right? And then all of a sudden, in the 2000, just a few years ago, they said butter is okay. It's healthy for you. Eggs are okay, you know. And you look at that and you say, what's going on? What's correct? What's not correct? And what is being discovered is this. Your brain requires healthy fat. Because your brain is made up of 70% cholesterol. And if you have a cholesterol-free diet, you're more prone to get dementia and Alzheimer's than a person who eats and consumes cholesterol and fat. Healthy fat, not just any kind of fats and oils, but healthy fats. When I found that out, I said, hey, I don't want to get Alzheimer's. So I eat 3 eggs, 4 eggs a day. I have my bacon. When I found out those things are healthy, but what happens with most of us is that we eat wrong foods and we live the wrong way. Alzheimer's is not a disease to be afraid of. It can actually be reversed, and you can prevent it by making sure that your brain has all the nutrients that it needs. What is the killer is diet and lifestyle, inflammation. We're eating bad foods. There's a, I'll give this to your pastor, and he can make copies of it so you can have it next week. But we did a health seminar, and we'll be doing this in our church every year on the second Saturday of every July. And we did 8 workshops. One workshop was Alzheimer's, preventing Alzheimer's and reversing it. The other workshop was on emotional roots of sickness, how when you have negative emotions, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, that it actually creates sicknesses in your life. We had another workshop on living long and living healthy. This is by the Blue Zone staff in Maui, a 30-year study of the people around the world, 5 communities that live the longest and why they live the longest. Mineral deficiencies that cause diseases. I think most people don't realize this, you know, but you hear this thought. If you eat a lot of good foods, organic, healthy, natural foods, you've got all the nutrients you need. The big problem with that is that you need to eat 26 apples every single day to get all the nutrients that 50 years ago one apple provided you, because there's no nutrients in our soil anymore. And so we're thinking, I just eat and that's enough, you know? So mineral deficiencies causes diseases. PEMF, 21st century therapy, this is an electromagnetic therapy that was discovered because the astronauts went to space. Popular foods to avoid. There's a doctor by the name of Peter Glidden, G-L-I-D-D-E-N. He has a video on YouTube that's really good to watch. It's called 12 Foods That All of Us Love to Eat and Why You Should Avoid Them, that they're the ones that's actually causing all the sickness and problems in our bodies. Stress management, and the other favorite of Americans that's causing the problems in our health is sugar. avoid sugar, why sugar is bad. You know, all of us love it. But we don't realize what how it's affecting our lives. So good food was a key to Adam and Eve's life, but they chose a bad food. And these are, I'm just going to quickly run through these thoughts from the book of Genesis, the first three chapters. So let's kind of quickly go through this. The first plan that God had for human health is sunlight. He said, let there be light. And God said, let there be light. And whether you realize this or not, you know, people who live in snow country, they don't have sunlight for 6 months out of the year. They're more prone to sickness than we are. I mean, we are really, really fortunate in Hawaii. I think living in Hawaii, we can live an extra 5 to 10 years in health. And we can add another 5, because we live in Hawaii. And as Christians, we can live another 5 to 10 years on top of that because we're following God's laws and we're walking with the Lord. And you know, we can have the right attitude in our hearts, be able to hear what God tells us, you know, what's wrong and what's right. The next thing that's important is water. I mean, these are kind of simple, acceptable, common sense things, but I think a lot of times we don't even realize this. Water that was given by God, that went out of Eden, watered the garden, and went into 4 parts of the world. The Bible speaks of that. When the flood came and the waters receded, I'm not sure whether you realize this, but the glaciers that were formed all across the earth through the flood sucked up all of the minerals from the earth. And where these glaciers are in the high mountain tops of the earth, where the centenarians live, the Hunza people live to be 100 years old, and they found out that their water source is full of minerals. And as they're drinking it, it feeds and nutrifies their bodies so that they are healthy. And they're living to 100, walking, healthy, farmers, walking up and down mountains. It's amazing. And because the water is living water. That's what God provided originally. And what man touches, man pollutes.
That's right.
So we've got chlorine and fluoride in our water. We're drinking it without distilling it. And so there's lots of information on alkalinity in the water that helps. There's a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about that. And ionized water that's electrified. And that's what these mountain glacier waters are like. I mean, it's healthy, life-giving water. So water is another thing. The next thing is pure air. God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Oxygen is so important. Breathing is so important. If you are breathing clean air, you are going to be healthy. If you don't get enough air, you'll get weak. You know how when you go up to Haleakala, you know, the thinner the air gets, you know, you get dizzy up there. You breathe polluted air, you get sick. You know, we've gone to Philippines a number of times and we just try not to get out into the city. 4 minutes without air, you die. So how important is air? I mean, oxygen is hugely important. And there's I don't know if you heard this, there's a therapy now for cancer that's called, without having to get chemotherapy and radiation, it's called oxygen therapy. A Nobel Prize scientist found out that if cancer was exposed to oxygen, the oxygen would kill cancer. And one of the reasons why cancer begins in our bodies is because we don't have enough oxygen in our system. And the more we fill our bodies with oxygen, that's why it's important, and we'll take a look at this in just a short while. Exercise is really, really important. Walking, working out, running around, being active, that is so important because it forces oxygen into our bodies. And the more oxygen gets into our bodies, it kills the poisons, gets rid of the poisons in our bodies, and kills cancer. So pure air is really important. sleep and rest. The next one is sleep and rest. God called the light day, somebody loves to sleep there. And the darkness he called night, and there was evening, there was morning, the first day. One more scripture on rest, and God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it. You know, I think we violate sleeping because we love watching television or we're on our electronics, and it keeps us awake. Light will keep us awake. You know, and you just need darkness in order to, and God ordained that at night we go to sleep. But we're creative creatures, so we created electricity. And we can have day all night long, right? And we can stay up until 12 or 1 o'clock. And sleep scientists have said that going to sleep the hours before 12 is worth twice as much of sleep than after 12 o'clock. Yeah, so without realizing it, we are actually degrading our bodies by not having enough sleep. You need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. I can do with about six and a half to 7 hours every night. So sleep and rest is important. Plus, the Sabbath is important. You know, what day do you have? I have a doctor friend who at 60 years old decided, he never did this before, but he wanted to. He's one of my inspirations. He says, said at about 60 years old, I wanted to get involved in global masters swimming contests. This is here on Maui. I've never swam competitively before. So I hired an Olympic coach to train me. And he's been winning world records, breaking world records in all the global meets that he goes to. And he's 67, so 7 years of doing this, maybe more, 10 years. And he said his trainer called him up about 5 years ago and said, "Hey, Gary, do you have one day when you just do nothing?" He said, "Oh, no, no, I'm just busy every day." And his trainer said, "If you don't rest one day out of the week completely, no TV, just read books, just rest, don't go out, don't do anything, just stay in at home. If you don't do that, I won't train you." Because Olympic coaches know that in order for Olympic stars to be able to perform at their highest, they need one day of total rest. Isn't that what the Bible talked to us about? We need a day of Sabbath when we're completely at rest. We don't do anything else. We're not involved in any activities. And this is Olympic level. Okay, next one. Exercise. So God just said to Adam and Eve, "You're going to have to work the rest of your life because you've sinned." And you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to have 4 work days out of the week. We're trying to retire early. You know, retirement was never on the agenda in America until we began Social Security in, I think, 1930 or something like that. And it came as a model from Europe in England. But it was never in the foresight of Americans to retire at 65 years old, you know? It's just we have formatted that for our American life. But people who live the longest, the healthiest, and the most productive are those who keep working the rest of their lives, right? What happened? So we're supposed to be engaged. The Blue Zones that I was talking to you about that studied all these longevity cultures, they found that people who live way beyond their hundreds, there are 9 major things that they have in common with each other. At the top, the number one was movement. They just naturally moved. They didn't go to the gym. They weren't involved in any sports. They rode their bicycle to get to the farm. They rode their bicycle to fish. They were farmers that constantly was plowing their fields. They were working, they were moving naturally in their day. And so they said the most important thing for longevity and health is that your body moves. But you know, most of us, you know, how many of you sit 6 to 8 hours a day with the work that you've got? You know, because we've developed that in our society. And so we've got a program and schedule exercise into our day. I've got to do that, you know, because I'm doing a lot of studies, I'm doing a lot of writing. And so I've got to just put in my calendar, this is when I go and play tennis 1 hour, two, three times a week, when I go and do my gym exercises and my my treadmills, got to purposely plan that in. You know, this is what I found. I had this whole series of years when I'd had headaches every single week. And this started when I was pretty young. When we got married, my wife was shocked that on our honeymoon, I had a headache. She said she's never known anybody. What is that? She's reminding me it was in Disneyland. When I had to leave and come back to the apartment, go to the hotel. And so I've been plagued with headaches regularly. As soon as I began exercising in my 40s, my headaches went away. There's something about your body that needs the movement and the regular. And I got sick for a month, and God spoke to me. I was in my 40s when I got sick for a whole month, and God said, you're 40 years old, you're in bed for a whole month. When you get to be 60, it's going to be worse unless you do something. You got to determine that taking care of your body and exercising regularly, being fit, is a priority in your life, not something that you add on to your life. And I had to make a decision at that time. And since my mid-40s, that's regularly what I have been doing, you know. And I think that's the kind of commitment we need to make. God gave us one body we're stewards of. Nobody's going to exercise this body for you. We're thinking about buying this thing from Costco. What is it called?
Zaz.
What?
Zaz.
Zaz? Have you seen the Zaz machine that helps you exercise? You know, you get on it and it shakes you and shakes you and shakes you. Costs $2,500 so that you can have a machine exercise you if you don't want to exercise yourself. I mean, you can do that. It's up to you how you want to handle that. Okay, and the final thing is natural foods. What next slide? Can we get there? Okay, let's see. Oh, walking with God. I forgot to change that. But we talked about that. It's important to have your relationship with God. Let's close with this. Next one. Let's see. Next one. Okay, natural foods. So this is what God says in Genesis 1:29. He says, I will give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruits with seed in it, they will be your food. Originally, herbs and vegetables and fruits from trees were supposed to be our diet, human diet. Yeah. Right after the flood, this is the next scripture, Genesis chapter 9. After the flood, something happened to the earth. And there was a depleting of all the minerals on the earth so that you couldn't get everything that you needed. We were vegetarians for a year, and I had to learn a lot of lessons about being a vegetarian. But we're no longer vegetarians. Because this is what God said. Genesis 9:3, God says, every living creature will be food for you. As I gave the green plants, I have given you everything. Every living creature, and God says, just don't drink the blood. You can eat the meat, don't drink the blood. And when the priests were ordained in ministry in the Old Testament tabernacle, and sacrifices of lamb and ram and oxen were given, they were given the privilege of eating the meat of these animals, you know. Because, and this is what I discovered after 1 year of being a vegetarian, You cannot get all the 9 amino acids out of vegetables. You can only get it, you have to be really wise in how you eat your vegetables to get it. And you can, but it's a lot easier getting it out of meat. And my body changed as a result of it. You know, there's a whole story to that. So in regards to natural foods, there's 2 things to realize. You gotta avoid the bad foods, find out what those bad foods are, and avoid them. And make sure that you take supplemental nutrients because the soil doesn't have enough nutrients in it. And it makes a huge, huge difference for children, and it makes a huge difference for adults, and especially when you get into your senior years. Susan and me, myself, struggled with joint pains. And we found out that taking the right nutrients took those pain away. You know, I was having a hard time just doing serves in with tennis. And by taking the right nutrients, those pains just went away. Because it's the lack of nutrients that causes disease in our lives. Okay, so those things are important. I'll make sure I get the information to your pastor so that you can get some of these websites and some of these doctors. I follow probably 6 different naturopathic doctors that have taught me so many different things. We this is amazing. We found out that there's a way to heal cancer in Japan that's not allowed in America. We found a Dr. Maeda, who has been practicing for 30 years in Japan. He was a physician for 2 years at Kuakini in Oahu. And he has a cancer treatment center, 10 of them in Japan, all scattered around Japan. We found out about him, and he can detect in your body, within the first year cancer shows up. Our equipment in America can't detect it until you're at your third stage of cancer. And then he can treat it in 10-minute treatments that's just through light rays, electronic light rays, like sitting between 2 microwave ovens. And it'll destroy and annihilate the cancer without touching anything else around it. So we heard about him and we made an appointment. Susan and I made an appointment about 3 years ago. He has a 7-month waiting list, but he found out we're from Hawaii, and so he squeezed us in when we got there to Yokohama. And we went through the test, found out we're cancer-free, cost $300 for a 15-minute exam, but he had these little samples of 45 different cancers and was able to test it on us to see whether we had any of these cancers, found out we were cancer-free. And then we found out that people who we shared it with in Japan that had cancer went to get treated, and they're totally cancer-free without any kind of complications. So there are available all around the world different types of treatments, but we're locked into a system in America that will not allow other treatments to come in here, you know? And so we've got, if you don't research it, you will never find it. So I love these 6 doctors I'll share with Pastor Herman, who they are. You can study them on YouTube. When you find a sickness or disease or somebody, we're just doing some research on all different things. Whenever we find somebody in our family having this problem, we do the research on it, so that we don't have to take all the drugs and the medication that's always being required. That's just kind of a basic rough overview. Let me just end with this challenge to you. This is the final thought. And this is God's proposition to all of us. In the garden, God never violated Adam and Eve's will. He never forced his desires on them. He said, these are the trees you'll eat of. This is the tree you're not supposed to eat of. Never force them to just stay with the trees that were good. In fact, the Bible says, very interestingly, in the middle of the garden was a tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before they could take of the epitome of health that would have been provided through the tree of life, they had to face the temptation of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had a choice. So God wasn't just going to give them the tree of life without them being given an opportunity to not take of the tree of life. So that's a decision that every single one of you face, that I face every day. Because there's a serpent that's whispering in our ear, take the bad foods. It's okay. But it leads to death. God's saying, here's some good foods. And the big problem is that the serpent is speaking through all kinds of systems in this world. Books that are written, the society and its culture. And they're saying, this is good, this is good, this is good. And we're confused. Yeah. So the Bible says that God hides his secret, and it's the glory of the kings to search that out. You and I are commissioned not only to walk with God, to share his gospel with other people, we're commissioned to search out what is good in every single field. And we're brought to a point of decision. Which tree will you choose? There's the tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A decision needs to be made. And I want to read this one scripture and we'll close in prayer together. Everybody together, let's read this Deuteronomy 30, 19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Father, I just thank you for this congregation and this church and their leaders and their pastors. And just thank you that, Lord, you're leading us in these final days. You've said that in these final days you will show us that the fruit of the trees and the trees of the field will be food for medicine for us. Teach us all of that. We're helpless. We don't know how to survive in a culture that is seeking to bring death into our lives. And we ask that, Lord, you would teach us the lessons that will help us walk in the pathway of life, your life. So I just ask that, Lord, what little things I've shared this morning would be able to be taken and chewed on and digested and processed in such a way that every person here would be given a vision and understanding of how health is not just an accident. It's not dependent on age or germs or genes, but that you can guide us into the right diet and lifestyle that will honor you. And so I just commit our lives into your hands and give you thanks in Jesus' wonderful and precious name.